comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble!
It's Nerds United.
Hello and welcome to a brand new, on a very special night, live Nerds United. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko. It says it right there,
human man.
I didn't forget your name. I forgot the superlative I was going to use. Anyway.
Human man.
Dashing.
Oh, thank you.
Co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello. How are you? I'm going to answer that. I'm good. And that's all.
Okay. Hey, we've got viewers tonight.
Okay, awesome. I should have said more then. My bad.
No, that's a good. Thank God for the Five Heart podcast crew, because they followed. They've migrated. Fred Sacco is here. Fred's kind of a regular, and by that I mean he's here every time he can be, but sometimes he's out enjoying life, and we cannot fault him for that.
It's true.
But Fred says I was first 3 days ago, but Greg, I didn't delete you. I had to change the date. He called me a monster. This is how it is when he's in charge. And he's responding to Minnie, who is first. As of 8:34 tonight. Now, Minnie is the new co-host over on the Five Heart Show. Fred's making it thinly veiled, like, I'm in charge. I changed the date. Minnie would never do that type of thing.
I might have to check out this Five Heart podcast now.
It's a good time. It's Nebraska sports, which you've taken in a game.
Yes, as many games
as Garrett, at least outside of the womb.
I've been to a game, and me and you watched a game together at your house. I feel like that was like 3 years ago.
It was pre-COVID, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And Highlander Gunn is also from the Five Heart Show. So, yeah, we do on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. We do talk. But Josh is there. A lot of times he's late. But you know Josh. So,
yeah.
So it's basically just it's slowly becoming the Five Heart crew on a second night, which I'm here for. Hey, it's better than nobody. And exactly. We've talked to nobody for a long time.
Yeah.
So how you been, buddy?
Man, I've been doing really good, actually.
Good.
Been thinking positive and doing positive things and being productive. Trying to clean up a little bit. So, yeah. No, everything's been awesome.
Fred says, hey, Mike, the Five Heart podcast is kind of football and kind of Little Shop of Horrors, but way weirder.
I mean, I'm in.
That's a hell of a sales pitch there, Fred.
Thursday at 9, I will probably be there if I remember.
I will make sure you remember.
Okay.
Because I'll be like, Mike. Yeah.
What is this? Are you shaking me?
Air drums.
Oh. I thought you were like shaking, like you came over, you were shaking me awake.
No, you might just be getting home from the gym at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night.
I try to go earlier.
No, well, that's crazy.
Yeah. I went today, in fact.
Highlander Gunn says that you look like Q from Impractical Jokers.
You know, okay, it's so funny that you mentioned that. Because somebody at the gym, actually, this is probably 6 months ago, said the same. No, sorry. They didn't say Q. They said Sal. Q's a bit of a letdown. I'll just tell you right now. They said Sal, which, by the way, I don't look like Q or Sal. But they said, you look just like Sal from Impractical Jokers. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, oh, thanks. You know, I'll take that as a compliment. And then he's like kind of just stood there like, yeah, you really look like him. And I was like, and like he was expecting me to be like, hey, it's me. Okay. Don't say anything.
You should have.
Yeah.
Also,
Q's not a bad guy either. So
it's important.
I don't get myrrh.
No. It's important, Highlander, for you to know that the co-host changes his name every week. That's
true.
Not his real name.
Yeah. Jackie Daytona. If you know where Jackie Daytona comes from, you can write it in the comments section and you'll get nothing as a prize, but I'll be like, oh, okay. We're on the same page.
I don't know. And I'm not allowed to Google. So I really want to, you know what? While we're getting going here, my wife sent me a potential crochet project that she might work on. I'm like, that'd be awesome if you did. If you did, I would like it. It's a blanket, and I'm gonna import it. Yeah, it's not, you know. It's yeah. Anyway, let me see if I can't throw that up here. While we're talking, Mike, did you buy anything? Read anything this week?
No, I am working on Radiant Black Volume 2 right now. I'm about halfway through that. I would say I'm really enjoying it so far. It's obviously picked up on the Volume 1, but in particular, one of the storylines at least is of how the – I mean, spoiler alert, I guess. There was a switch in characters. One person became a hero because of something else, right? And they're kind of like – That's a thread they're going through. And then the other one, I am reading Black Hammer Secret Origins and really enjoying that. One thing I really found funny is that the Martian character, known as Barbalian, there when they came to Earth, whatever, they had, like, I think his name was Mark Marks. And I'm like, that isn't the just the like as close as we could get to John Johns, you know. And I think that, like, I don't think they tried to hide it. I think they just, like, yeah, this is it, you know. So, yeah, but that's as far as reading. I don't think I'm reading anything else. So, yeah. What about you?
That Black Hammer, I believe that's from the box that I sent
your direction, yes, right? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That was a lot of fun. I have to track down like the next volume, right? I have to look for it.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I haven't looked for it, so that's why I haven't, like,
because
it's impossible to find.
I think Secret Origins is the first one. Seems like it.
We'll go with that.
Here's the thing, I haven't met Black Hammer yet, though. That's really, I haven't. Like,
crazy how that works.
Yeah. I've heard about him. I've heard about him, but I have not met him yet.
So it's been 9 days or nights since we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, we recorded last on a Friday night, and I told you what I was going to do the following night, which was Saturday, which was the Revis show down in Heron.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I went there, mm-hmm. and I acquired this sweet shirt, perfect. Super comfortable. And really enjoyed seeing the band again. But I got to thinking, it's been 9 days since we did our last show.
Yeah.
It had been 10 to 12 years since Revis shared the stage together, and close to 20 years since the original five in the band were on stage together. And they've done three shows in a week. And we have in the time in between our last recording. So I was like, we can't really be better. Like, we can't make content or time out of thin air and just,
I mean,
make it happen. But
people make content out of thin air.
Do they, but though?
Time, yes, that's what content creators do. Time, no. I mean, we cannot make time, unfortunately.
Fred wants to know, what is Revis? Is that like Crevice, our former head coach's favorite spot? We have a lot of, apparently, former Husker head coach references on this show as well. Revis is a rock band from Southern Illinois. Made it pretty big 20 years ago. Got a deal with Sony. They were on the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie soundtrack. Now they're back. They have a new EP. They're probably going to be going in the studio and recording more music. But it's one of my favorite bands. That Places for Breathing album from 2003 I can listen to front to back. It's an amazing album, so I highly recommend it, Fred. You can get it on all your streaming platforms. So I have not bought anything. I have not had the time to read anything. I have been running and gunning. It was a strong end to a great month for me for work.
Good.
Didn't leave a whole lot of time for home.
Yeah.
And the time that I did have, which was Thursday, I couldn't get my mower to start. Made some really nice ribeyes and a nice dinner for our anniversary. And then I did the Five Heart podcast Thursday night. So I had a wedding yesterday for our babysitters. That was kind of fun.
Interesting.
Well, she's our babysitter, and right like from the very beginning, she's like, "Hey, do you mind if I bring my my boyfriend comes over and helps because you have three kids?" And since I trust her,
no
problem trusting him. So great young couple, and they got married yesterday, and it was nice. Yeah, good time. Good
Perfect, time. Awesome.
Didn't stay out late.
Because
you know the kids.
Yeah.
But it was great to celebrate them. So I have not read anything, but I got a question for you, Mike, because I think we talked about this. At least you talked about this briefly in passing a few months ago. But mm-hmm. did you see Dune Part 2 in theaters?
In theaters, no.
Okay.
No.
Did you watch it in the last month or so that it's been on Max?
No, because I tried to watch Dune Part 1,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't get through it.
Okay.
I will try again, though.
Dune Part 2 is equally long.
Yeah, this, yeah.
But maybe with more action.
Okay, because that's good, because that's why I couldn't get through Part 1, because, and look, and I don't want to critique anybody. Everyone has their own thing that they like. But it feels to me that people that like Dune, they like movies about infrastructure and learning about the background and, you know... Planetary Council or whatever. What was happening here?
Wasn't that the critique of episode one, Phantom Menace? Is like,
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. All the interplanetary politics.
And yeah. Like, yeah.
So I did watch the, I rewatched Part 1 maybe a couple weeks ago in anticipation of Part 2. And then I did watch Part 2 over a few days this past week, and I think it's all about when I'm choosing to watch it and not mm-hmm. devoting, you know, like full sit down watch it in a theater energy to it.
I
get easily distracted. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I, having never, I watched the original Dune twice.
Okay.
Over the years. Not, once, yes. Not like, you know, recently, but mm-hmm. over the years, I know I'd watched it a couple times. Fred wants to know, how would you compare the 84 Dune to the two new ones? I'm not entirely sure there is a comparison. And by that, I mean, I don't know I don't even remember how far the original Dune, like, does it cover all the complete story? Is if what they're doing to the new Dunes, the new Dune movies, Part 1, Part 2, if they're stretching out, like The Hobbit is not a long book, but they make.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened, but I'm here now. I don't know if we're still recording or live. I don't know what happened to Greg, guys. I'll explain without having seen one and a half of the Dunes. I'll explain what's the difference. So the 1984 Dune, what happens with that is it's one movie. Okay. And then the other two Dunes, they're two movies. And I've seen the first Dune. Oh, Gray's back now. Okay. See, perfect explanation for me.
Wiggled a wire. Thanks. I was
thanks,
here the time.
Thanks, everybody.
You weren't kicked off.
Oh, I know. It's because it said live on mine still. So
no. What I was saying is if what'd you say?
I already explained it, Greg.
Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead. Give your interpretation.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know how lengthy the Dune story is. So, again, I don't know if they're giving these newer contemporary movies the Hobbit treatment and taking, you know, 250 or 300 pages of book and making them 9 hours of film. So
I think Dune, I think it's like a series of books, isn't it?
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to Google because this is my show and I can do what I want.
Like, just off the top of my head, there's probably like an illustrated Dune and like a Dune encyclopedia. There's like storybook. There's a ton of novels for it.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I don't know. That's just my guess.
But the original Dune by Frank Herbert from 1965, you know, everything else is decades later. So again, I just don't know, you know, how in depth that one movie is. Anyway.
It's two movies, so. That's how it's different.
I'm sorry, the one book. I don't know how in-depth the one book is compared to the movies.
The book is 10,000 pages.
Then it might be just right.
Because apparently there's supposed to be a part three.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be more.
By the way, my mom watched Dune Part 2. and probably really? Was super confused because she never saw part one. Or I probably not even the original movie, or you know, but she went by herself. Yeah, no, she didn't do that. She did see it. She went with my nephew Eddie.
Well, I'm sure Eddie enjoyed it.
I think so. He's a big Star Wars fan, and I didn't know that.
It's weird because he's right age to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I had no idea. He called me one day and was talking about something from Star Wars. And he's like, "Are you a Star Wars nerd?" And I'm like, "Are you a Star Wars nerd?" And I was like, "I mean, I enjoy it, you know." And he's like, "Well, do you know about the blah blah blah?" And I'm like, "No." He goes, "Well, you're not a Star Wars nerd then." I'm like, "That's fine with me." So, but he's supposed to visit sometime in June, actually. So
that'd be fun.
We'll watch some Star Wars stuff.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. And yes, a part three is in the works from Denis Villeneuve and Legendary Studios.
All right.
I imagine it'll probably be 2027. That's just because part one was 2021 and
yeah,
we just had part two. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I can't compare them and I apologize.
Okay. What else did you watch?
Well, not much. I've been watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and okay. Garrett and I have been watching BattleBots on Max.
Oh, nice, nice.
We've been enjoying that.
You know what I watched at your recommendation was Upgrade.
Oh,
yeah.
What did you think of Upgrade?
Interesting. I remember, like I told you, I remember the trailer for it. Very bloody, very. Yeah. You're correct. The ending was just like, oh, okay, that's where we're going. Yeah. Like. And I'm wondering if, because I don't think it did too well in theaters at all, or like I don't even know if it made its money back. It just sometimes that happens. But I'm wondering if there was supposed to be a part two, or maybe there was going to be a sequel. If it were to do good, or if it was like sometimes they just wanted like an open ending like that, which is fine. It's not an open ending, but it's just not the hero doesn't. Get the girl. I guess he does sort of, but not in the way you think. You know,
yeah, that's a very good clarification there. Mm-hmm. The thing, I think we talked about this before. Like this movie was released in 2018.
Yeah,
and yeah. I don't even know, you know, like how it did. I mean, like I don't even remember it hearing about it at the time.
I remember seeing the trailer for it. And that's about it. And like, that's how it happens in movies sometimes. Like,
it definitely has that like straight to video type of feel to it.
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't mean that to be like negative.
No,
it was estimated budget of $5 million, and you always say double that for marketing purposes. Yeah. It made its money back, just in the U.S. and Canada, but barely, like $12 million. $12 million is what it grossed.
Here's the thing: I it's good that they did that low budget. I wouldn't have expected a $5 million budget. Just that seems like, I don't know what the standard is nowadays, yeah. but that's good, you know, cause there's a lot of movies out there that will have the same kind of feel as Upgrade, but it'll have a $40 million budget. And right. It's like, what are you expecting? You know,
let's back it off just a little bit.
I really enjoyed it. Because I remember the trailer had the first fight scene where Stem takes over, Stem to take over, and that was I found that interesting. Can't let computers take over your brain, people.
Fred says, if you want a strange, cool sci-fi show, check out Blake's Seven. It's bad special effects, late 70s British sci-fi, but very cool and ahead of its time.
Okay, let's see if that's on any streaming.
I'm also Googling.
My guess is going to be no, but you never know.
BritBox?
Oh, it's an entire... BritBox is available. You did say show. Okay. I was like, oh, this is an entire show. Prime Video, maybe. Oh, with premium subscription. Yeah, BritBox. You know, maybe it's on YouTube. I'll check out an episode.
There we go. We'll do our best to find it, Fred. Yeah. Thank you. We'll take any... Yeah. Recommendations that people want to give us. So I don't have a ton. Hey, that's what we said. Got mine off the back of a truck
Well, send that truck to us.
Fred got off the back of a truck. He's still trying to shake that other thing. And he said YouTube used to have all the episodes as well.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of figured.
Not a ton of depth or detail into these next couple of things, more quick hits, as we like to call them. But they did release a little teaser trailer for the fourth and final season of Umbrella Academy.
Yes, I'm excited about this one. This is I got to go back and rewatch because I don't remember what happened with Umbrella Academy, but it's, you know, why not just go back and rewatch it? Because it's only three seasons.
Yeah, and they're only eight episodes piece, and we have till I think what, August?
August. Okay, yeah. Then I definitely will.
So
I'm gonna go back and rewatch that.
I think my biggest issue with Umbrella Academy, and I gotta find
the umbrellas.
That's right. It's only one little patch or maybe tattoo or something like that. Aidan Gallagher.
Okay.
Who plays number five.
Yes.
You see him. He's roughly middle of the photo here.
I know who you're talking about. I know number five.
Thank you. He's the first season. He's like, I don't age.
Yes.
But that's the downfall, right? Of live action is he's clearly aged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have they ever retconned that or explained that one away?
No. And I think they're just not going to mention it. They're just going to be like, oh yeah, he never ages, and then he'll have like a beard, whatever. He's still a little 14-year-old or whatever. How old are we supposed to be?
And I don't mean this as a gripe, or a right wing alt right whatever, but like they won't explain that, but they will use exposition to explain Elliot Page.
Yeah, that was interesting too. I mean, I liked that they explained it. I like that they put something like that in. I would almost think in the same vein that they wouldn't have to explain either one. Like it just happens, like just deal with it. Maybe they will explain it in this one because he will have aged. Because when the first one come out, what season?
Oh gosh. Season one was. Oh, don't ask me this question.
I'm going to guess like 2018.
Season, doggone it. No, I think it was before that, wasn't it?
Well, what you're going to do is you're going to go to a place called Google. Okay.
I'm not allowed to Google.
Then you can just type in season one Umbrella Academy.
2019.
Wow. 2019 would also be weird.
But it seems like it was a lot longer away than that.
But still, no, here's the thing. 2019 was a long time ago. Like
5 years.
Yeah.
That's how time works.
Yeah, yes. So maybe they will explain it, but I doubt it. I doubt it because it's not going to be as big of a shift in the plot as it would with
Fred says that picture that we have looks like CW crap, hard pass, no pun intended. And I got to say, Fred, this is pretty far beyond anything the CW's putting out. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix. The first three seasons are out there. It's violent, it's bloody, it is filthy and vulgar. I think you really like it.
Yeah, I will. Yes, you are correct though. It does, that picture does look like it belongs to the CW. You are correct. It's got that CW feel. It's got the youngish, you know, actors and actresses on there.
Way too attractive for real world.
Exactly. All way too attractive. And, but no, yeah, yeah. At least check out, go on Netflix, check out, you know, an episode or two. And if you like it, obviously stick with it. But
so the big guy here, Luther,
mm-hmm.
Played by Tom Hopper. Tom Hopper was in Merlin, which was another Brit show, which was like a Arthur origin story. He was also in Black Sails, which I believe was on Stars, and now that show is on Netflix as well. It's a pirate, kind of like a pre Treasure Island, like those characters, you know, Captain Cook and etc. But this image here for season four has him. I mean, those first seasons, he was like that gorilla back or something, you know. So,
oh yes, yeah.
So
yeah, that is interesting. Okay, because and maybe I don't remember what happened because he did have a gorilla body. That was the thing.
Like when he was on the moon and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
and didn't he always have that then afterwards? Or did I like maybe I'll go back and rewatch it anyway, right. So maybe I'll learn. But it looks like it changed and look, maybe it changed in season one and I just don't remember.
No, I think it was definitely I'd have to go back and look at season three. I know it was there for the first season or two.
Yeah.
Then the other addition as far as like a regular here, you can see next to number five is Ben. Ben is back. Ben had been dead. So we're getting the whole family back together, the Hargreaves. Yeah. So should be a wild time in season four.
Or this is just a dream.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Or this is like a cast send-off party and everybody's got a shot because everybody's got a shot.
That is.
Maybe we only see half of these people.
Yeah.
So
or just one. Who knows?
Or just so that's it. Umbrella Academy, season four, later this summer.
Fourth and final season.
And that exact date is August 8th. So again, almost 2 months to watch 24 hours or so of television.
Good, good.
Highlander Gun says, looks like a few of them are on their phones. I see drinks. Maybe it's because I have a problem.
I see the one closest to us, well, on the left.
That'd be Klaus.
Klaus, that's it. Klaus, it looks like he's on his phone.
Maybe. Also looks like he's been doing some examining or
oh.
something else because he's got the gloves.
Actually, you know what? It's funny. Like they like guys with blue Maybe. Gloves, he's a proctologist. He can be if you want.
Hey,
for the right price.
For the right price, anything's possible. Yeah.
That's what Greg told me, at least.
I'm still waiting for the money. I'm not doing anything until I get the money in my hand.
It's only fair.
All right. So moving on from Umbrella Academy again, August 8th, Netflix, yada, yada. We also got word within the last week-ish that there is going to be a live action He-Man movie. Mm-hmm. And we got the actor cast who's going to play He-Man. Now, I'm going to put a picture up here of a obviously drawing of He-Man and the actor. I was trying to get a picture of the actor that maybe like showed some physique.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's in a movie opposite Anne Hathaway that blew up very big on Prime Video. I don't remember that one. The Thought of You or something like that. Anyway, Nicholas Galitzine.
Okay. Yeah. That's the most He-Man looking picture on the right there. I'll tell you what.
not the best of photos, but it's what I had to go with. So, yeah. You don't like that single shoulder strap shirt?
Hey,
with
look,
a little flash of the guns.
Here's the thing. I can't say anything about that guy because I guarantee you that guy gets way more women than I've ever gotten in He's my married. Life. It don't matter. I'm saying he could if he wanted to. All right.
So,
I mean, heck, the guy on the left probably could get more women. he's animated. So,
I feel like there's probably a certain segment of the female population that is very infatuated with He-Man.
Yeah.
Maybe that picture didn't do him justice. Let me see if I can find a better one.
You're going to now look for a better picture?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
You just keep talking. You do your thing.
Okay. So, by the way, people, if you're on the video right now, you're having to stare at two very traditionally attractive looking people, and then me and Greg. So sorry.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
You know, Greg. Sure, I will. Look, Greg. You found a nice woman already. So
that's true.
And been married to her for over a year now. I believe
15.
I was correct. That is over a year.
You were definitely accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
I can't. We're just gonna have to do this.
Price of Right rules. I would still be good because I didn't go over.
That's true. All right. Let me swap out that.
Okay.
I mean,
here's the thing. I mean, he just now got cast, so they haven't even filmed anything yet. Except like none of his stuff. You know, I don't think they filmed anything. So he's going to have time to go to the gym. eat some chicken, broccoli, rice, take some supplements, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, Hollywood supplements. And he will magically put on about 30 pounds of muscle in 6 months.
Is that how that works?
If you take special Hollywood supplements, yes.
Highlander Gunn says he should bulk up a bit. Fred says, quote, I have the flowers. all right. So my issue with the casting isn't nearly as egregious as my issue with what they're planning on doing with the story. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Let's see if I can.
I wish you would show it to me.
Okay. I can't show it to you. I can read it. This is from comes to us from Variety. Chris Butler is writing the screenplay after other people took cracks at it. By the way, I'm not terribly upset at like the creative team behind it. By that I mean the guy who directed Bumblebee, Travis Knight, is directing the movie for Amazon, MGM Studios, and Mattel. I enjoyed the Bumblebee movie quite a bit. I think that it was. You know, after we had a lull in the Transformers franchise, it was a nice little reboot, and it was a period piece that was set in the 80s. Let's see, this He-Man movie's set to hit theaters almost 2 years to the day from today, June 5th, 2026, notwithstanding any delays, etc. But according to, let's see. Masters of the Universe follows Prince Adam, a.k.a. He-Man, who crashes to Earth in a spaceship as a child and decades later returns to his home planet to defend it from the evil forces of the bad known as Skeletor. But in order to defeat the powerful villain, he needs to uncover the mysteries of his past and become He-Man, referred to in this world as the most powerful man in the universe. So I don't think we need to include Earth in He-Man in the Masters of the Universe, but apparently I don't get that vote, so...
I mean, I'm not really that excited about it, but you're the bigger He-Man fan, you know.
I have a lot of fond memories watching He-Man. Yeah. Back at the time, in the mid-80s, my mom worked like second shift or overnights, so she'd be home with me during the day, and like she'd let me watch He-Man, and she'd play He-Man action figures and stuff with me. So
nice.
So, you know, I got a lot of positive memories around He-Man, and I don't want Hollywood to mess those up. And I guess to an extent they won't, but they do like to try push buttons. No, so yeah, Fred says, get him some vitamin B and a set of balls. And Fred also says, let me guess, will Teela be the star and save a dumb dopey He-Man? And it's about Teela being an overpowered hero fighting the patriarchy and maybe evil Lynn.
I hope it is actually I hope so. People complain. That would make me laugh.
People are going to complain.
Yeah.
And Josh is here. It says, oh, man, Highlander Gunn and Fred are both here, too. So. All right. So that is what I have in that regard. Got to clear some space. I got a lot of images tonight. So let's move on. We had a trailer this past week, Mike, for Star Wars The Acolyte. And that's coming to us just in a couple days. Tuesday of this week, you know, we get The Acolyte, at least the 2-episode premiere. You watched the trailer, I assume?
Of course.
Well, let's just throw that up there. Okay, and we can't show you the trailer. I wouldn't know how, and two, YouTube would throw us off. But here's a still. And I got to say, more Jedi, and I'm not going to be upset about it. This takes place a couple hundred years before the events that we're familiar with the Skywalker saga. But hey, that's a lot of cool colored lightsabers.
Yes, it is.
And you have the actress who plays Trinity in this show. You have the main actor from Squid Games in this show. And you have, and I'm bad at names, but she was, I don't want to say like Wolverine's daughter, but the young clawed mutant from Logan.
X-23?
Yes, thank you. Yep. She's in this movie or in this series as well. And you can't see it. In fact, you'll see her. She's the paler Jedi right above the blue lightsaber with the blonder hair. And I'm pointing to it with my mouse, but nobody can see that.
I know what you're talking about.
We also get a Jedi Wookiee in this series, and for the first time ever on live screen, or to say whatever, we get the lightsaber whip.
Ah, yes.
I don't even know what to think about a lightsaber whip.
I don't know why they don't have them. They all should have them.
I mean, you'd think they all could have them, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll find out, like, it's just a horrible thing. Like, it's just not... like, you hurt yourself more than you hurt somebody else with it.
Well, whose fault is that?
Exactly. And that's why they don't use it anymore.
Maybe Yoda was not properly trained.
Probably not.
So, maybe. In the Acolyte is essentially a story of... you know, in this image here, we have a Jedi and the Acolyte who's on the left, and the power struggle on the Sith side because of the rule of two is always, you know, there's master and apprentice, no more, no less. That's what Yoda tells us. And at some point, the apprentice needs to find an apprentice of their own or an Acolyte to help overthrow their master to keep intact the rule of two. So that's what we're going to get in this series here. So it's the first Star Wars series with a female showrunner. I don't know why that's necessary, but hey, I mean, not that why it's necessary to focus on that, but since I guess it's the first time, we have to hear about it again. Let the show stand on its own merits and not so much the identity politics of those people behind it. But I will watch it. I'll watch it with great interest. And we'll see how it stands up.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Highlander Gun says, is she wielding a Sharpie? I don't believe so. But Josh says that the pen is mightier than the laser sword. All right, so that is what I have for that, and I have to. So it only allows me to upload so many images at a time. So now I have to run and upload more images. So bear with me. What are we going to talk about next, Mike?
I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I had was the Nintendo thing, the game thing. Not even Nintendo. The game thing.
We'll get to that as well. We also got a trailer earlier this week. Yeah, earlier this week, for another movie hitting theaters this summer, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And I know we've seen that image before, but I really like the trailer for the movie, the full full proper trailer, because we, of course, realize that Winona Ryder's character, a.k.a. Lydia Deetz, has bringing her daughter back to her childhood or teenage home. Jenna Ortega, of course, playing her daughter, and Jenna Ortega goes into the attic where, for some reason, they still have this model town in the attic that caused the problems 30 whatever years ago. And she says, oh, for a good time, say the word. You know, she's a rebellious teenager. She's not making a mistake or trying to help anybody like Lydia was back in the original movie. So she, in an act of defiance, Jenna Ortega says those words, that name, three times, and he reappears. There he is, looking older and crustier than ever. I'll say this. I'm really proud and happy for Michael Keaton because he's getting to go back and play with all the old characters that, you know, not to say the franchises weren't a thing in Hollywood 35 years ago. I mean, obviously we had Indiana Jones, Star Wars, etc., but we also had a lot more originality 30 something years ago. Now that he's kind of has the opportunity to go back because, you know, we're mining for content and for nostalgia. I am to an extent happy for Michael Keaton that he gets to go back and have, cause I think he really enjoys playing this character.
Yes.
I was just waiting for you to chime in.
Oh, no. Well, I agree.
Okay. This trailer also got us a few glimpses of what we're being told is Beetlejuice's wife in the underground, and that's Monica Bellucci with staples all across her face. And There's not one more image that I had of her. And it's processing. So anyway, that's a little bit of a blur because you can tell that was pulled from the trailer. I'm a big fan of Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
I think she's a tremendous actress. Never misses, never fails to entertain. So, yeah, more of her. Good for her. And I'm excited for this movie that'll also hit theaters this summer. I wish I knew the exact date, but that would require me being more prepared. Mike, there's only so much I could do.
All good. We know it's in the summertime.
It is definitely in the summertime. All right, one more quick hit topic, and this is, I know you'll have an opinion on this one, Mike. And I'm so excited to get to it. Well, hold on, let me. There we go. We need to see more of you.
Or around September 6th. Which I don't know if that's considered summer or not. Summer for me ends in August, but it's summerish. September 6th.
What was that? Beetlejuice or the next one we're going to talk about?
I don't see the next one you're going to talk about. So unless I can predict the future.
It'd be very good if you could.
It would be Beetlejuice.
Okay. September 6th. Technically, summer is until September 21st. So
that's fair. That's like I said. If someone says September is still considered summer, that's fine with me.
You see, speaking of Beetlejuice, before we move on, Fred said I never saw the original. I think he told us that before. We advocated that he should. Josh said, Fred, go watch it.
I watched it for the first time
when we talked about it before.
Yeah, this year, I think.
Yeah. And you thought it was.
It was good.
Highlander Gun. Highlander Gun liked the first one. We'll check this one out.
Yeah.
Josh is happy that Keaton's having a resurgence in general. Dude is so damn funny. Loved him in The Other Guys.
Yes. The Other Guys is a really good movie.
There was it this, maybe this past year's Emmys or Golden Globes or something where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito were up there presenting and they said, you know, I was a Batman villain. And they both looked down at Keaton. And he says, you know, since I bring it on. He just glared at them, you know, intensely.
Yeah.
Dude's good. He's got great timing, too. All right. So season 3 of The Bear, Mike.
Yes.
It's happening. I think it's happening later in June.
I think so.
In its entirety, I think they're going to drop all episodes.
Mm-hmm. Which means we're going to binge it all in one day. Or forget about it.
We will watch it probably within a week.
Yes.
And we both like the show quite a bit.
Yes.
It's an FX show that's on Hulu. It is about...
Lip Gallagher right there, or Philip Gallagher right there, off to the left. He takes place in Chicago.
Carmi.
Yeah, he takes place
Chicago.
In Chicago. But he went off and like trained at like the highest culinary art studio or school or whatever to be this big chef. But then he had to come back and take care of like his family's little shop or whatever,
right.
And you know, try to. You know, they, of course, want to do shortcuts and everything, and he's trying to do everything perfectly, and it's just a big whole thing with that. And now it seems like, according to the trailer at least, that they are – he's wanting to go for a Michelin star, which is like you have to be really like the best of the best, apparently, to get it. You know, and everything has to be perfect. And, you know, it's food that I, one, probably couldn't afford, and two, honestly wouldn't want to eat. Nothing looks appealing.
That's the thing, too, about that is you're paying outrageous amounts of money for, you know, I've seen some of those like high end restaurant plates.
Yeah.
And you're getting like that much food.
You're getting a forkful and then like a drizzle of sauce around it.
Yeah. That's not going to work for me.
Yeah. And so, even like, here's the thing. Even if that's the absolute best bite I've ever taken in my entire life, which it very well could be. I'd still rather just eat a greasy cheeseburger.
I I'll say this too. You know, because right along those lines, they talk about what is it in Vegas. By the here's another still of the show with more of the cast in Vegas. There's something like the $1,000 burger or something like that. With they put a little gold leaf on there.
Like no, mm-mm.
don't do that to me. Nobody wants that. All right, let me pull up our we're getting to the main event, but I was able to get that picture that we talked about, that quilt or not quilt, the blanket.
Okay. That,
it finally worked. I tried sending it to Josh anyway. So this is the blanket that my wife sent me a picture of. And I was like, yeah, if you could make that, I know it'd be a ton of work, but I'd be pretty tickled.
All right. Oh, look at that blanket. Yeah.
Look at that blanket. Doesn't that blanket look awesome?
That's a really cool. Yeah, I would be. Yeah, that'll be just tell her to make a couple of them.
Yeah, okay. You know? One for you, one for me.
Yeah, one for you, one for, and then just like, you know, because they're probably really easy to make. So just like four or five spares if she wants, you know.
I was just thinking of you know, like the winter episodes, like our very special Christmas special. You know, we got the hot chocolate, we got our nice Mario Kart blankies, and be a good time. Yeah. So, all right, I think we're ready, Mike, for our main event. Let me get those images in place. The only thing I don't like about this aspect of the program is I can only put these in one at a time. So it's a lot of extraneous clicking, and I apologize to everybody for it.
Oh, it doesn't just come like you don't. I don't know how you do it or can do it. I thought it was like you had them in order already.
They were, but I still have to put them all in, and because it only lets me put in so many at a time. And I exhausted that because we had a lot of images this week.
Yeah,
because it's been 9 days. So,
true.
Oh, yeah. Fred wants me to send a blanket of that to our buddy John, who's the founder of Coronation, so he can hang it in his bathroom. I think my wife could probably crochet a Husker blanket.
Sounds good.
We'll see. All right, Mike. It was the idea here a couple weeks back to do retro video games. And we have both picked 15. If you're new to this show, some of you might be. We've started this back in, I think, February with 80s movies. We've done 90s movies, breakfast cereals, candy, TV show. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground. And this time we're going retro video games. And for my take, you know, from my perspective, games that were released in the 80s or released or played in the 80s or 90s.
Yep. That's what I thought, too.
Okay, perfect. So who wants to go first, Mike?
I'll go first.
Okay. With my picks?
Sure.
Okay. All right. These are the selections that I made for you, Mike. And I'll say this before I show the image is there's a story or a memory tied to almost each of these games.
So, okay. Nice.
Here we go. We're not going to get to 15 different memories or stories. All right. Here are the 15 titles that I chose for you. We have Duke Nukem 3D, NBA Jam, Rampage, Triple Play 98, Mortal Kombat. That was probably poorly done. I regret that. We have Madden 96, X-Men, the video game, Super Mario Brothers 2, Turtles and TMNT 4, Turtles in Time. I don't know if you can read that one too well. We have Street Fighter 2, Double Dragon, The Oregon Trail. We have Marvel's Avengers War of the Gems, Dragon Warrior, and Clock Tower for PlayStation, Mike.
Ooh, man, you have some good ones on here.
I tried.
Okay. I mean, there's some that I Clock Tower, I don't ever remember playing, or Dragon Warrior. The War of the Gems, I don't remember. Turtles in Time, I might have. I mean, I played a Turtles game. I don't know if it was Turtles in Time. That's on Super Nintendo, so it wouldn't have been at my house that I played. It might have been at a friend's house. Regardless, though, the first one that I noticed that I thought of when you were reading them all off was Oregon Trail, because that just, you know, that just reminds me of school. I play a more advanced Oregon Trail now. It's called Red Dead Redemption 2. That's probably why I like it. Mortal Kombat, that's, again, I'm going to put that one down. I agree. Okay, Josh, I agree with you.
Especially if you had the cheat codes.
Yes.
I don't think I don't think I could have played Duke Nukem 3D without the cheat codes.
So, and I don't know if this is Duke Nukem was only on PC or not, but that's how I played it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, had the cheat codes. If this is the one, I'm hoping I remember the right one, where there was some ladies dancing.
Yep.
Nope. Okay. All right. So I have Oregon Trail, I have Mortal Kombat, I have Duke Nukem 3D. Right in front of me, Super Mario 2, which I mean, I like most Super Marios. They're frustrating.
Right.
But here's the thing about video games. I like playing video games, but I am horrible at playing video games. Absolutely horrible at it.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I think I played Mortal NBA Jam. I'm gonna throw NBA Jam up there too. That's gonna be my number five.
That's made famous. Boom shakalaka.
Yes. I don't know if I played it very often as a kid, but there was something where, and as an adult, because like Corey showed it to me years and years ago, like you can play as the Beastie Boys, I think it is, and then yeah, it might have been some modification. I don't know.
That'd be cool. But,
yeah, so I have Oregon Trail, Mortal Kombat, Duke Nukem, Super Mario 2, and NBA Jam.
Very nice. Real quick here before we get on to the selections you made for me. So Triple Play 98 has a St. Louis Cardinal Brian Jordan on the cover.
Of course.
And Clock Tower, my buddy and I rented Clock Tower once. We were like sophomores in high school, maybe even freshmen. And we were upstairs jamming to rock and we're not paying attention. I mean, we're not listening to the game, have the game audio. And all of a sudden the villain, cause it's a horror game. The villain comes out with those giant shears and just cuts us down. And we kind of looked at each other like, oh shit, we better pay attention. That's the only game that we ever rented and returned in like 2 hours.
Really?
Oh, we ain't doing this game. We just couldn't figure it out. We got trapped in a bathroom stall.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And like, because there's a little like sound that plays in a case these come, but we didn't know how to combat him or run away.
You know,
it's like, nah, hell with that. Let's just go swap out for something else. So, all right. So here's the games that you gave me.
Okay. So I got Earthworm Jim, Track and Field, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Frogger, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Tetris, Resident Evil, Battletoads, Super Mario 3, The Legend of Zelda, Popeye, Mega Man 2, Zork, and Doom 2. I forgot, by the way, I had these so long ago, I forgot what I all had on mine.
I know. It's been a couple weeks since we talked about this topic. That's my fault. All right, so my five. First of all, I never knew that there was a Popeye video game.
Okay, so let me explain that, because I don't even, I'm almost positive there was, or it was a fever dream of mine. But I think there was a Popeye video game where they essentially just put their images over like Donkey Kong type images, because Bluto was the Donkey Kong character, or you know, Popeye was Super Mario and Olive Oil was Peach. I remember playing it in it was a handheld game type of thing.
Oh,
so.
So it totally exists. It's not a fever dream. You're right on the money. I got to put this up there to show people just so they understand that Mike's not crazy. Mike, you also do have, an unusual, I don't want to say obsession, but appreciation more so than other people our age for Popeye.
Dude, I love Popeye. I grew up watching Popeye. I watched the Popeye movie. And I'm not joking. My mom can verify this. For probably a solid 2 or 3 years, if not every weekend, every other weekend, I would go to. I mean, we would always go to the video store, and it got to the point of like I should have just. It would have been much cheaper just to buy the movie,
right?
Popeye, than rent it 400 times.
That was me with The Matrix.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what some of the gameplay look like.
Okay. Yes.
So, and Fred agrees. Fred has the Popeye game on his Legends arcade cabinet. So.
Nice.
All right. So let's get back to the list here.
All right.
The first one that I'm grabbing here is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Of course.
Although, you know, I could do some of the moves and more often than not keep my skater on the wheels, but I don't know any of the names of the moves or what they actually meant. I was just like,
no,
same. I'm a button masher, dude.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers 3 has to be on there.
Of course.
Track and Field. Is that the one that had like the big, like floor pad that you had to like run and do the things?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe when I was 7.
Well, you know, yeah, not now.
I don't think I'd include that one. I did play that. I have never heard in my life of Zork.
Oh my gosh. It was a computer game and it was a text-based game. It was pictures whatsoever. It was all just like you walk into, you know, it was shown on the screen. You walk into a forest and there is a path to your left that is covered in vines or you can go straight ahead and you would type in take path to left or whatever. Only I remember that there was you somehow got to a house and you worked on getting inside the house. I don't know. I just remember it. I remember liking it, but also kind of getting frustrated with it because those are the things I could do. You ever heard of Zork? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Sorry. Josh says, much like Greg's prom date, all I tried to do was grind forever on THPS2.
You gosh darn right.
Oh, because that's how you maximize like the points, right? With the grinding.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Super Mario Brothers 3. Which Turtles game is that?
Whichever one I remember. I didn't know there was more than one.
There's the one that you're like, what, in the sewer or something? And that was the game that I think frustrated everybody in our age group because.
Let's go the arcade style game.
Okay. Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, all right. Okay, so I'm going to throw Tetris on there because you like a better, you know, I like puzzles and I would appreciate Tetris probably even more now than I did back then. I'm going to lose so many points for this. I never got into Legend of Zelda.
I guess me neither.
Okay, good, cool.
Nolan really likes it. I'm assuming other people do too. Because
crazy ones.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I never, I think Corey really likes it. But yeah, never got into it.
I love the music, sure. But the gameplay at the time. I'd probably put Battletoads on there because I actually remember playing Battletoads.
Same.
And I didn't play Metal Gear. Like I didn't know how far forward we could go. Like I almost wanted to put like Splinter Cell on my list or Halo, but I thought that those were more like early 2000s and needed to keep them off the list. I'd probably go Mega Man 2.
I was a
big Mega Man fan, and I enjoyed the cartoon as well. So I think that's my five, right?
Okay, yep. You got Pro Skater, Super Mario 3, Tetris, Battletoads, and Mega Man 2. By the way, I'll tell you with the track and field game, what we learned was that we would not like you would use your hands because your hands go faster. And then for like the jumping part, it was just like nobody in my family ever actually ran. Well, no. Like we would sometimes run, but like we wouldn't just jump and you would jump off of it and then get the timing right and then jump back on. And then just beat world records.
That's just cheating.
Yeah. I'm sure there was fights over it too.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, Mike. So look at your list and pick out five.
All right. My list. Five. Of course, I'm going to go Popeye.
Fred says Battletoads was the first game that taught him how to hate.
Yes, that's the big thing about Battletoads is I remember it, but it was also very frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Track and Field just for the nostalgic memories.
Okay.
I'm going to go Doom 2. That was another computer game that I used to play.
Yeah. Doom would have been a good one. I could have gone with Doom 2.
Yeah.
I almost threw Einstein on.
Yeah. I never played Earthworm Jim.
No.
Draugr's fine. No, I'm not a fan of the Legend of Zelda. I'll go Zork also for nostalgia. I feel like I'm missing a big one.
Did you ever get into like Resident Evil? I didn't.
One of them, the one that has Leon in it and the president's daughter. But I'm gonna go Super Mario 3 as well.
I remember one day in school when I was a kid, I was sick and like I couldn't, like mom couldn't take off work. She worked at the hospital, but she couldn't take off work. So she actually took me to the hospital with her, and I hung out in like the children's like sick kids ward or whatever. Yeah. And they had a Nintendo. So I was over there playing Super Mario 3 all day long, making new friends. I was like, I need to get sick more often.
Right. Yeah, this is great.
All right.
Put yours back on.
All right, Kevin. So like I said, I got stories or memories for a lot of these. Double Dragon is one of those that was at Pizza Hut. So like you can never get too far because you can only play until the pizza arrived. And then whatever time you had left, you know, or however far we were, like mom and dad be like, hey, pizza's here. Come sit down. So on this list, I would put Duke Nukem 3D on there.
Okay.
I would put the Marvel War of the Gems.
Okay.
I had that game on Super Nintendo. You could choose between Wolverine. I mean, they're right there on the cover, though. Wolverine, yep. Captain America, Spider-Man, Hulk, or Iron Man. At various points, like you're going against like evil clones of other Avengers, like evil Hawkeyes you know, things like that, but you get some assistance from Vision, you get some assistance from Doctor Strange, you end up going up against Nebula and Thanos at the end of it to beat the boss, but you level up by collecting the Infinity Stone. So that was fun. Yes. I put that on there. So I used to play Triple Play 98 in the in Bald in Turtle's basement with them.
Oh, nice.
And we would all, you know, because I was on PlayStation, you could all be on the same team. So we would be the EA All-Stars, where like your leadoff batter was like the Flash and he could lay down a bunt and score. You had a guy who was so skinny, he couldn't be tagged out. So you just keep running the bases. Like your cleanup hitter, you couldn't even see his entire body because he was just a massive giant. And if every time he swung the bat, I mean, we'd win like 38 to nothing and have some fun, you know, do some laugh. Let's see. I enjoyed that X-Men game. That X-Men game was a lot of fun. I'd probably put that on my five. So I've got Duke Nukem, the both Marvel games. Dragon Warrior is, I swear, it's a game that if it ever pops up on like the, hey, you can get this game free through the Nintendo Switch, blah, blah, I would get it in an instant. I never beat it. I played it for years. And I get frustrated. I put it away, but like you always, it always saved your spot. So I'd really like to beat that Dragon Warrior. It's a lot like, I think it's a lot like Legend of Zelda. I mean, you go around. It's an RPG. It's an early graphic RPG. So that'd probably be on there. So what does that give me? Four?
Yes.
Probably Turtles in Time.
Yeah, good.
Turtles in Time was a fun one.
AKA Turtles in Time, AKA Tit.
Yep. And however many years later, 30 years later, I still like it. So,
all right, perfect. You know what? I was thinking for the next category. I have an idea. Of course, we can go. We can always go to the to our loyal fans, but see what they think. But I'm thinking since it's summertime, what about foods to grill?
Ooh,
it's not just meats. A lot of meats, though. But
I mean, that'd be all that I know. I'd have to make stuff up.
But still, even if it is just meats, you know.
So let's. Yeah. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Good.
I'll have just the same picture 15 times.
burger, fried.
So Josh and I, for those of you who don't, I'm gonna close this out. Josh and I were roommates way back in the day. Hard to believe, almost 20 years ago. Greg, what was the Marvel game we spent a whole weekend trying to beat? We had, so This is actually when we were roommates, Joshua, and it was, we had Marvel's Ultimate Alliance, like one and two. I think there was a like an X-Men team up game as well. It was you, me, and the girl you were seeing at the time. That was how we spent like Saturday mornings, was playing video game over in the side room. But yeah, I don't think it was on Wii. I thought it was my Xbox. Regardless, yeah, we enjoyed that. And I was always Wolverine because I just always darted in, and you know, because with my healing factor, and then Josh would be like Cyclops and, you know, snipe him from the distance. So, and real quick, we have Fred's input on the games he would select. So he would go Super Mario 2, Dragon Warrior, Street Fighter 2, NBA Jam, and Turtles in Time, aka Tit. Thank you, Fred. And for your list, to me, Super Mario Brothers 3, Mega Man 2, Tetris, Legend of Zelda, and Track and Field. So a little good, bit of good both
choices,
of our
good choices.
Josh wants clarification, grill and or smoke?
Either.
If you cook it over heat outdoors, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And Fred likes the grill thing.
Good. Good. Awesome.
And Fred also beat Dragon Warrior, which makes me happy for him and sad for me. Says Dragon Warrior was great. Beat it at level 17, which is pretty boss considering that level wasn't super high. So, oh, and then Josh says that was later when I came back to visit. We played for 3 days straight. Yeah, was that was when I brought my newly engaged fiance up there to meet you all, and we just sat playing video games.
Sounds like a good time.
It was a good time. It was good. And she obviously passed the friend test. So, all right, Mike, that was fun. I thought we'd get out of here in a relatively short amount of time.
I knew we wouldn't.
You knew we wouldn't. You're so smart. So thank you. Thank you for giving up your Sunday night. Hope you had a good time with your Friday activities. Mm-hmm. And I think we could have done a show last night at 9 o'clock. All the boys fell asleep on the way home. Okay. From the reception, and we were home before 8.
Ah, okay, okay.
We had to carry Matt in, and I carried Rob in. As soon as I put him down on the floor, he's like, no, I don't want that. I said, well, I got changed out of the suit. When I got back downstairs from changing, Matt was laying on Ashley, sleeping again. Rob was in my chair, almost asleep. I'm like, all right, Rob, I'm going to take you to bed. Got him upstairs, got him in bed. A couple minutes later, Ashley brings Matt, and Matt never woke up. I mean, he did this morning, but like not last night. And then even Garrett's like, I'm tired. I'm sleeping. I was like, go to bed. And then everybody went to bed. And then I fell asleep too. So
sounds like a fun night.
It was. It was a good time. So I appreciate you greatly, Mike. And I look forward to visiting with you again very soon.
Yes.
And we'll talk some outdoor prepared foods.
Yes. Perfect way to put it.
Doesn't have to just be meat. Mm-mm. So, all right. And we appreciate all of you who stuck around with us tonight. Highlander Gun, Fred Sacco, Josh Hansen, and anybody else who was here and didn't comment, don't be afraid. Next time, comment, and you can see and or hear yourself on the show here. This is a Jittery Monkey original podcast, jitterymonkey.com. Check it out. And not just for Nerds United, but for my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. Kevin Huntsberger will have a new episode live on the site in less than 2 hours because he publishes his at midnight, and I think I need to talk to him about that. But for the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United, and we remind each and every week to be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.